Well, if you're co-signing for something, it means you are equally financially responsible, both legally and from a credit aspect, of paying that bill if the other person doesn't do it. When you go to get additional debt, whether that be a credit card, a home loan, another car loan, that is going to be affecting your overall, what we like to call debt to income ratio. And that sounds like a funny word. Like, what the heck does that even mean? Like, debt to income ratio, what? If you're working with a mortgage expert who really understands it, who understands what either occupying or non-occupying co-borrowers look like, they can really drill it down for you and explain it. It's a pretty detailed process, so I'm not gonna go into it too much. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today I am doing a solo episode to talk to you a little bit about the positive and negative implications when it comes to co-signing. I'm in several different groups on Facebook that deal with all different kinds of financial things, right? And as I am reading through some of the posts, there is a particular post that was made about a woman who had, she called herself out kind of as an idiot for co-signing for her ex-fiance's car. And what is it that she could do? Because now her credit's getting trash and all these kind of things or whatever. And I had made a comment giving some advice about some options. And all these people started in on me about, well, that's going to keep hurting your credit and this, that, and blah, 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 and like all this stuff. And so it kind of got to me to thinking about that there is a fair bit of misinformation when it comes to co-signing and what some things that you can kind of do when you have co-signed and some things like that. So I'm just going to kind of talk you through the kind of positive and negative effects of co-signing, what it really means, what you're really getting yourself into. So if you've ever co-signed for anything or you're considering co-signing for anything, let's talk a little bit about how it works, what the legal and financial implications can be, and things like that. So first of all, everyone's going to tell you that co-signing is the devil and you shouldn't do it. I'm not necessarily going to pretend that that isn't a little bit of sound wisdom. I definitely don't think, though, that it is the devil. I think if you're going to co-sign for somebody, you need to keep some things in mind. So number one, if anybody has ever watched my podcast before, they will understand and know that I always come from a place of education, right? I think the first step is understanding what is it, how does it operate, and what are, I guess, some of the pros and the cons. So let's talk a little bit about that. So first and foremost, whenever you're co-signing for anything, whether that be a car, whether that be a home, what does that actually mean? Okay. The reason that I want to talk to you about this is, unfortunately, a fair bit of people in either auto industries, any kind of industry that is dealing with the financial space, right? So loans, whether they be mortgage or personal loans or any of these kind of things that you could potentially co-sign for, they're not always going to express to you what is actually happening when you're co-signing. So typically, one of the things that people think about most frequently for co-signing is vehicles. A lot of times, people who are either young or maybe they've had damaged credit for some reason, something like that, right? They will go to purchase a vehicle. They go in there, maybe their credit's not that great, or they don't have that strong of an income profile. So maybe they, and what I mean by income profile, maybe they don't make a huge amount of money or something like that. And so the person that's going to give them the auto loan wants another stronger profile to kind of match with that to be able to issue them the loan to buy that car. And so quite honestly, that is when a lot of times you're going to find that the car company is going to request a co-signer. So what does that even really mean? Well, if you are co-signing for something, it means you are equally financially responsible, both legally and from a credit aspect, of paying that bill if the other person doesn't do it. Okay. This is why people are going to tell you you shouldn't co-sign, because a lot of times what's going to happen is you're going to be told by either the person who's asking you to co-sign or the potential individual, either at like the loan company or the vehicle person, right? Like the person there at the dealership, they're going to tell you, yeah, you're signing for them, but you're not going to have to make the payments. That's not actually legally what's happening. So what the legal agreement is if person A, whoever you're co-signing for, does not meet the financial obligation of paying for this bill, you have to, okay? So is it a bad idea to co-sign? The answer is it depends. It can be if you don't trust the person you're co-signing for to make the payment, or if you don't have a relationship deep enough with that person that you actually trust they can make the payment, right? So that can create some challenge, right? And so a lot of times, you know, you're going to find that most of the time when you're asking to become a co-signer, it's for somebody you know pretty well, maybe a child, a sibling, a parent, somebody like this, right? You have a pretty deep relationship with them. I will caution you by saying if for some reason they are not qualifying to buy whatever it is, the car, the house, you do need to step back. And before you make the decision, ask yourself a few questions. Number one, why can they not qualify? There might be a really good reason, right? They've been in college, and so they just don't have really much of a credit profile yet, or they just started their job and they haven't had a chance to kind of build up that income. So that may be a very valid reason, and you may feel like, you know, that's fine. However, it could be that they have been very not responsible with their money and their credit, right? It could be reasons like that. So there's all kinds of reasons that somebody might need a cosigner, and they're not all bad. That's why I'm saying on its face, becoming a cosigner is not necessarily the end of the world. However, you do need to understand what your legal responsibility is, and also like your financial responsibility, which they are kind of one and the same, right? That you're going to have to pay for it if they don't pay. So those are a couple aspects there. You also need to keep in mind that it is going to be reporting on your credit report, okay? So as a cosigner, that debt is going to report on your credit. And you're now saying, well, what does that matter? So if they don't make the payment, and then you also don't make the payment, it is going to report negatively. You're going to show late pays on your credit report, okay? So that's going to be one factor. Also, when you go to get additional debt, whether that be a credit card, a home loan, another car loan, that is going to be affecting your overall, what we like to call debt to income ratio. And that sounds like a funny word. Like, what the heck does that even mean? Like, debt to income ratio, what? Okay, so basically anything that shows up on your credit report is all of your debts, right? And there's a monthly amount that you owe every single month. And then you have your income amount, right? How much money you have coming in every single month. And when we do calculations, whether it be in the auto space, whether it be in the, you're getting a personal loan space or the home loan space, we are figuring out how much debt do you hold? How much income do you make? And are we okay with that to issue you another loan? Okay, that's what we're looking at. Okay, so this is all just math. If somebody else, your cosign for somebody else, that debt is affecting you, okay? And when this really majorly affects you is when you look to go to buy a house. And now you're saying, but I'm not making the payment, Jax. Okay, that's all good, fine, and well. But as far as the mortgage side is concerned, the only way we can exclude it is if it is coming out of an account of the other person that your name has nothing to do with. So like a bank account that is solely in your name, and they have made 12 on-time payments that we can show, then we can exclude the debt, but only that. So let me walk you down a scenario of what happens a lot where people don't think this through. So a friend of yours, your kid, your parent, whoever they are, has asked you to co-sign, and you feel like you have a really good relationship with that person. You don't feel like they're going to screw you. You're okay putting your financial legal neck out there to sign for them. Great. Wonderful, right? A well decisions choice that you made. You went in eyes wide open. You knew what you were getting into. Now you say, hey, I want to buy a house. Also great. You come to me and now we're looking to help you buy a house. And it's 6 months down the road. And your individual that you co-signed for, to their credit, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They have been making the payments out of an account just in their name. You haven't contributed. You haven't even really thought about it, right? Because as soon as you sign the paperwork, they've been handling it all and you haven't been doing jack. Perfect. Awesome. You come to me and I say, hey, so-and-so, you've got this, you know, all of these debts on your credit. And you say, oh yeah, Jax, but you know what? That one debt is not mine. I co-signed for yada, yada. They've been making the payments on it. I say, great. I'd love to look to exclude it, but I need 12 months of payment. Well, they only got that loan like 6 months ago. There's only been like 4 or 5 payments made. I can't take it off. Legally, like the underwriting guidelines state that I can't remove that. And so now I have to count that against you. It is going to affect your buying power when it comes to buying a house. Okay. Maybe it doesn't matter. maybe it does matter. I'm not necessarily saying it will or it won't. I'm just saying you need to kind of think that through when you're making that choice to co-sign or not to co-sign because of that exact thing. Right? Now, I will tell you that it is fairly common, and we see it a fair bit of times where a parent might co-sign for a child when they're buying a house, and they may, because you know the kid maybe doesn't have enough credit profile, maybe they haven't gone ahead, they haven't been working long enough, something like that, right? There's some reason the parent wants to help the child get into a home earlier. Perfectly fine. There's, again, inherently nothing wrong with that. Again, you just have to kind of look at the full picture. If you're working with a mortgage expert who really understands it, who understands what either occupying or non-occupying co-borrowers look like, they can really drill it down for you and explain it. It's a pretty detailed process, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but suffice it to say, it falls under the same rules that I've been sharing with you, aka it is going to go on your credit. It is going to affect your debt to income ratio when you're looking to get into any other kind of loan scenario and situation. So again, these are the kind of things that you need to look at and consider before you go ahead and make the choice. I have been a co-signer before myself. I'm not saying that I wouldn't necessarily do it again, but I made a very calculated, well-informed decision.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Let's talk about maybe when it's not a good idea. Number one, you don't know the person super well. So I'm going to tell you a story that is an absolutely true story. I had a lady call us one time and she wanted to buy a house. And she told me up front that she had co-signed for a boyfriend that she hadn't even dated very long. I want to say 3 to 6 months. And she had co-signed on this truck for him. She said he will like literally not make payments. And then right before they get to the point where they're going to repossess that car and take it back, he will make a payment to suffice them. And then he does the whole pattern all over again. And so it was trashing her credit. And she's like, what do I do? And she like wanted me to be able to not count it against her because it's not my car. And I said, from our vantage point, it doesn't matter if it's your car or not. You are legally obligated and financially obligated to pay that debt. And she's like, well, I can't pay the debt. And I said, well, then you probably should have considered that and not co-signed for it. I mean, not trying to be rude, but like, that's just a reality. And she's like, well, I want to be able to buy a house. And I said, okay, it's definitely going to negatively affect your score. That's the bad part, right? And then I don't know how it's going to affect your debt to income ratio. We're going to have to look at it. And we looked at it and basically it was holding her back from being able to buy this house. And she's like, well, what do I do? And I said, honestly, your best case is to try to see if you can do a what's called a voluntary repossession, which basically means you turn it in. And she's like, well, I don't even have a key to the truck. And I'm like, well, it's going to be pretty hard to turn in a vehicle that you don't even have, you know, that aspect too. And in her case, it was even worse because she wasn't even anymore on the title of the truck, right? And for those of you who are wondering, like, what does that even mean? So the title of the vehicle is who denotes ownership. So there are times where you can actually be financially responsible and not have any ownership in the asset, the vehicle, the house, whatever itself. And so she didn't really have a lot of leverage, right, to be able to turn it in. And so until that car either got repossessed by the company itself, number one, right? Number two, she could try to get a hold of the keys and figure out how to get it voluntary repossessed, which it seems like with the games that this gentleman was playing, that unfortunately was likely not going to be the case. There really wasn't a whole lot of ways that we could get a remove, excluded or whatever, right? Because he wasn't making those on-time payments I was talking about earlier. And so that creates a lot of challenge, a lot of problems. So I'll tell you now the conversation or the post that actually sparked this whole podcast episode. So the lady was admitting that she was an idiot, that she had co-signed for her now ex-fiance vehicle. And she's like, what do I do? So first of all, I want to point out that she probably did this with the best intentions. She was engaged to the person, right? She really felt like she was going to go spend the rest of her life with this person. And he, for whatever the reason may be, they broke up. And now she's stuck in this scenario. And I told her, well, if he's not making the payments, you can try to look to get the car again, like I suggested the other lady, like voluntary repossession. And this is when everybody hopped in on me. Well, this is horrible advice because it's still going to negatively affect her credit. And now they're going to show a repossession. And if there's negative equity owed on the vehicle when they auction it off, they're going to put a judgment against her. All of those things are true. However, from a credit perspective, at some point you have to stop the bleeding. So if there is a vehicle loan that's on your credit that is now negative because they're not making the payments and you obviously aren't able to make them either or don't want to make them, whatever that looks like, at some point in time, when you go ahead and you voluntarily turn that car in, yes, it shows up as a repossession, but likely unless something majorly changed, it was going to get repossessed anyways, right? Because if you're not making the payments, at some point, they're going to come take the car. They're going to come get it. They're going to come get that asset. And so if you turn it in or whatever, not only one, you stop the bleeding because now, as opposed to continuing to report negative every single month, negative, 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 like the whole account is going to start going away and your credit can start to heal. But also if they go ahead and they auction that vehicle off, and there is a negative amount owed, it's going to be a lot less if you try to catch it earlier than if you keep not making payments, right? And eventually it does get repossessed. Now the balance has grown even more and it's going to even be a larger amount. So in an ideal world, you can talk to that other party, you can get them to make the payments, or maybe you can make a portion of them and they make a portion, try to make it right. You can try to get them to trade in the vehicle. But if they're not communicating with you, they're trying to ice you out, and it's now negatively affecting your financial future, at some point in time, you have to make a hard decision, try to stop the bleeding. Understand, it may not be what you want to do. Understand, it may not be the pretty ideal scenario, but let's be real. When you made the decision to co-sign to begin with, it was a decision that you hoped they were going to make the payments or you were going to join your lives together. And in this particular lady's situation, right, she was going to join her life with this other person and they were likely going to be joint making the payments from here on out because they were going to be joint, you know, kind of merging some of their financial lives, etc.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
But the reality is life doesn't always go according to plan. And we do need to live a life with intention, whether it be financially or otherwise. But as everybody who's listening or watching this podcast goes, not everything goes the way you'd hoped. Not everything goes according to plan. And I say all that to say, you're going to make some decisions in life that are not going to be the perfect outcome. I'm not suggesting that you beat yourself up when things don't go according to plan, because sometimes they're not. In my own personal life, some of the things, the decisions that I've made, even with all the education in the world, with really thinking all the things through, they haven't gone exactly like I'd hoped they went. Okay. My credit has sometimes taken a lick because of it. Okay. I now have two choices. I can figure out the proactive steps I can take to try to make things right as quickly and as equitably as I possibly can, or I can sit and wallow in the negative, beat myself up about how I should have never done that thing. I should have never gone down this path. And there are going to be those moments where I have that feeling and that thought, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? Jackson was so stupid of you. Like, how could I ever make that decision? But the truth of the matter is, we're making the best choices we can possibly make. We didn't get to decide that we were doing life with somebody, right? Whether it be a friend, a family member, a significant other, a spouse. And then they decided to go crazy off rail. We didn't get to make the decision that we did this wonderful thing with the best of intentions, and then we got laid off, right? That's just life. So I wanted to make the episode because even though a lot of people do understand that co-signing, you know, like I said, a lot of people believe that it's the devil. I don't necessarily believe, like I said, that it's the devil, but I do think that you need to kind of understand the big rocks so that you can know whether it's for you or not. And how does that overall fit into your situation, right? And sometimes you are going to take risks in life that are going to pay off huge, and some that you're going to land right on in the mud. So when those situations arise, you just have to do everything you possibly can. Also, I will state for you, for those of you who may be listening, who unfortunately are going through like divorce situations or situations where there is like a like actual legal break where there's going to be some legal paperwork involved, like a divorce decree or partnership break, right? Or whatever. Please, please, please pick an expert attorney. They're going to know this. But for those of you listening who don't know, I actually do have a legal background. I actually have a law degree. I'm not a practicing attorney. So understand that you need to vet anything that I say or suggest through an attorney. It's not to be construed as legal advice, but please make sure you pick somebody who is going to make sure that those items are stipulated in a legal document, right? So if you're going through a divorce, who's paying what? Because you likely are going to have a fair bit of joint debt, right? Whether it be houses or cars or credit cards, whatever they are, they need to be stipulated of who is paying what. So you're paying this, I'm paying this. And in fact, you even can get legal agreements drawn with people that you co-sign things for, whatever, that do stipulate some of those things. They may not completely take away some of your responsibility level on them, but it at least does give you kind of a clean, delineated, itemized list of exactly what those things should look like, okay? So whenever you are making these decisions in your life, be it about co-signing for vehicles or houses or any of that, or it just be financial things in general, No to go in well informed. No to give yourself grace when things don't work out exactly according to plan. No to look for expert advice to understand how to make clear and better decisions. And then, like I said, when things don't necessarily go exactly as you wanted to, don't beat yourself up too bad. Learn how to pivot. Learn how to give yourself that grace. Like I said, I mean, I say it all the time. I'm in the financial space. I have probably more information in my brain and resources at my fingertips than most people do. And I'm very blessed from that. And I do not make perfect financial decisions by any stretch. So when you're sitting there being like, oh, well, it's easy for you to say because you make well-informed decisions because you have all the information. Yeah. And I still don't do it 100% right. So again, don't beat yourself up about it. Give yourself the grace and the appreciation that money is simply a tool and you're utilizing it to the best of your ability. And the more information you gain and the more momentum you go through, right? And the more you learn to trust yourself and your financial instincts and things like that, the better you're going to end up and the better that you're going to be. It's literally why I created a whole program called Financial Instincts Framework. What do I want you to do? I want you to understand what your strengths and weaknesses are from a money aspect so that you can level yourself up and make better decisions and understand what some of your blocks are and be able to use that tool to its full advantage because money is just a tool. So I hope that this episode kind of helps put into context, first of all, what is cosigning? How does it work? Like, what kind of legal and financial obligations am I going to place myself within? And also helping you understand that it is absolutely not the devil. It is something that you need to be very careful with. You need to be very diligent. And if you are younger watching this episode, or you know somebody who's younger who is watching this episode, I'm just going to tell you that you definitely need to be calculated in your decision making on who you do that, you know, with and through. So definitely, hopefully this has been very helpful tips for you. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. And I hope you had a great opportunity listening to this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.